Thank the Lord this morning for that blood. Thankful that we have been saved by the blood, we have been kept by the blood, and it is by the power of the blood that we can all keep going this morning. I'm thankful for that. I'd like to pick up this morning over in the fourth chapter of Matthew during our ordinance service a week ago or so. I had brought a little bit of this out, and I would like us to just pick up and read the scripture. Written on the board, back fishing. Matthew, the fourth chapter, we'll begin reading with the 18th verse. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Want us to keep in mind that, now it said that Andrew and Peter were brothers. Andrew was also, to my understanding, was a disciple of John the Baptist. So he had been already, Andrew had been hearing the message of the coming of the Messiah. So this was not strange that they dropped their nets to follow Jesus. And as you read on through this passage of Scripture, you will find the message was, we have found the Messiah. We have found the one that we have heard John the Baptist tell us was coming. And so when Jesus came along, And I just wonder if Andrew had not, and I don't know how all the timing of this was. So understand, but remember when Jesus was walking along and John the Baptist saw him and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew might have been there. And Andrew saw Jesus, this is the one that we've been hearing about. This is the Messiah. And so when Jesus came walking along and he saw Peter and Andrew out there fishing, and is anything wrong with fishing this morning? No. Some people may fish a little bit too much, and sometimes I wonder if some of us need to fish a little more. You know, there are those things that there was nothing wrong with fishing, but Jesus had a higher call for him. And Jesus came along and saw them, and he said, Follow me. And Andrew and Peter looked over it. This is the one that John the Baptist said was the Messiah. And they were probably excited. They were probably challenged. They were probably inspired that he's calling us. And it was sacrifice, but they willingly dropped their nets to follow the Lord. Because this is something new. This is something we've been anticipating as a Jewish people, and I'm going to follow him. He's given me a call. And so they left their nets. I think also this morning of the man that found the pearl of great price. And he didn't go and hoard all of his little pearls, but he went and he sold them so that he could get the pearl of great price. And he went and he did it with joy. Remember the man that found the treasure in the field? It said with joy he went and sold all that he had so he could go buy that field. Have you been there? The scripture in John 16:13 says, it teaches us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Jesus came along and he saw Peter and Andrew and he gave them a call. He gave them guidance. He said, I want you to follow me. And the Holy Spirit, part of his position and the capacity that he fills in our life is to guide us individually in life, to guide us, to direct us, to say, I want you to follow me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, I want you to leave your nets and I have a job for you to do. The Holy Spirit calls us from sin. He calls us from the world. But he also comes to fine-tune our life. He comes to fine-tune, and how He fine-tunes my life may be a little bit different timing than how He works in your life. But it is the Holy Spirit that came to minister to all of us in a very individual way and reveal to us areas in our life that we can make changes, that we can be more like Christ. And so He comes and He leads and directs and reveals and inspires and encourages and challenges and corrects. God has your best interest in His heart this morning. That's foundational for us to accept, for us to understand, to believe in. That when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals something to you and to me in our lives, even if it's hard, we must remember that God is doing this because this is going to be good for me. He has my best interest at heart. Sunday school lesson later, it dovetails once again with the message the Lord has put on my heart. But the Lord brings us to places, heard in Sunday school, decision points. That's what it was. Decision points. Places in life that the Lord brings us to. The Lord brings us to places in life that He gives us a call. He gives us a revelation. He gives us leadership, and then we are left with a decision to make. Peter and Andrew made a decision to drop their nets and follow the Lord. And it was because of God. God had a plan in mind for them. He had something in mind. I believe that Peter and Andrew were stirred by the visitation of the Spirit. Have you ever been stirred by the visitation of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember? And I want to, by the help of the Lord this morning. And I cannot do it because I don't know how the Lord has talked to you. But let's remember this morning. I would that your minds be stirred by way of remembrance. The times that the Lord has come by your way and He has inspired you to make a change in your life. Do you remember? And here the Lord came by Peter and Andrew and He said, drop your nets. Do you know, I would assume that over the years, Peter remembered when the Lord first came by and said, Peter, you've been a fisherman, but now I want to make you a fisher of men. I have another call. I have something else for you to do. That revolutionized and changed Peter's life, did it not? His life was never the same because he came to a decision point because of the Lord. And he chose to follow the Lord. Well, the Spirit of the Lord comes to guide and direct us. And there are times in life that we become aware of something in our life that maybe we were never aware of before. Have you ever had something maybe everybody else looked on and said, well, they sure need to change that, and you're oblivious. And then the Holy Spirit comes by and you look in the mirror and said, I wasn't aware of that. And people would say, what was wrong with you? It was right there. But you know, we're human this morning. And there are things in our lives that we don't see until the Lord passes by our way. And when the Lord passes by our way, there is an awareness now of where we are and an awareness that the Lord is calling for a change in our life. A realization. Do you remember, have you had a spiritual epiphany? Times where the Lord just illuminated and revealed Himself. You had revelation. I have had times that I'm reading the Scripture and dealing with situations sometimes, and the Lord came by and He revealed something to me that I almost had a head knowledge of, but now I have a heart knowledge of it. I knew the Scripture said that, but the Lord came and He illuminated His Word, and it's like, it doesn't matter what people say now, it doesn't matter where people go, it doesn't matter even those that I love, if they decide to live differently, because the Spirit of the Lord passed my way. And I know I have seen what the Word teaches, and the Lord, the Spirit of God, brought it and made it real in my heart, that I know it's true and I know it's right. And when I had that revelation, then it brought some, it required something of me. Revelation brings requirement, saints. When the Spirit of the Lord in His faithfulness comes by, whether it's in camp meeting, whether it's here in these four walls, or in the privacy of your home, when the Spirit of the Lord comes by with His anointing and reveals His glory, it brings responsibility because now we have a decision to make. Am I going to respond? How am I going to respond to that? I've noticed sometimes that people make changes in their life for different reasons. Do you know what? It's easy. Sometimes easier than others. I'll amend that. But when the glory of the Lord is there, do you remember times the Spirit of God just poured out in such rich anointing, you were willing to do whatever it took? He's like, Lord, I'll say yes. Lord, I've been struggling, but now maybe it was in a service somewhere. And the presence of God was so rich that it just drew you. And you are, Lord, I will make that change. I know you've been talking to me, but I haven't quite said yes yet. But in the presence of God, yes, Lord. In the time of, and that's why there's response and movement with the presence of the Lord. Because there's a draw. I've also noticed and observed in my own life and in the lives of many others that people make changes during time of trouble. During times of grief. Ministered to many people, families that were unsaved. And at the time of the passing of a loved one, I heard them talking and I heard some of the commitments that they made to the Lord. Because their hearts were softened. They were in grief and they were in trouble. And where do people turn when they're in trouble? So often they turn to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to start going to church. How many times have people said that have lost loved ones, never go to church, but they have a difficulty in their life and they say, I'm going to start going to church. It's good to do that. You know, life brings, I believe the Lord uses every circumstance of life that He can to try to draw us to bring change in our life. I know I've been going out and doing this and I know it's bad for me. Maybe it's drugs and alcohol. Maybe it's a work of the flesh. Maybe it's something people say, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm in trouble right now and I need God. And what they're saying is, Lord, I need You to work in my life. And so I'm willing to give something up to get a little bit closer to You. So what elicits change? Why do we leave our nets this morning? Because when we see the glory of God, when we're in the presence of His anointing, sometimes it's trouble. Have you ever been in a time of trouble and you were desperate for God to work? Do you remember what you did? All I can do is look at my own life. Lord, if there's something in my life that I need to change, Lord, I am desperate for You. I want God to work. There's places and situations we're desperate to see the Lord work. Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering You? And the Lord comes along and puts His finger on something. Yes, Lord. Do you remember those times? Do you remember this morning when you were desperate for God to work? Do you remember any vows that you made to the Lord? Do you remember any commitments that you made to Him? Do you remember any of the things the Lord called for in your life when we were so desperate in need of God to work? And God worked. And I was left with a vow. I was left with a commitment. I was left having told the Lord, I drop my nets, Lord, to follow You. I am thankful this morning for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. I am thankful this morning for grief and trouble and physical problems and the financial needs that all of us experience in life. I'm thankful for those times that bring us to areas when the Lord comes by trying to get us ready for heaven. He's trying to put us in a place that He can use us more effectively in the kingdom of God. And so, difficulties happen. And when your heart is right, we say yes. If it's wrong, we go away. But if it's right, we'll say, yes, Lord. And it brings in, there are other times when the Lord comes in and He gives you a job to do. Now, some people shy away from a job that God gives them. But other people, when there's something new going on, it kind of is, it revitalizes and excites because there's something new going on. I've watched this with groups of people start a new congregation or start a new work somewhere. And there's a synergy and an energy and a purpose because this is something new and people are excited about it. And people are willing to make sacrifices for it. And the answer that all of these move, when we're moved to change, what it comes down to is people say, I surrender. They say yes to the Lord. They make commitments. They make vows. And they respond to His Spirit. But you know what happens after those times of visitation? You know what happens after those really special times of glorious anointing that you feel like you're that close to heaven? You know what happens? Life. Those times that you were so desperate, I say you, that we were so desperate for God and we searched our lives and the Lord came by our way and we said, Lord, if this thing is hindering me, and usually we can nod our head and say, I know what you're talking about, Lord. Lord, I'm going to give that to you. Or if there's something that the Lord wanted us to take on, something the Lord wanted us to do. And then the Lord works, and a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by. And I want to ask us this morning, by way of remembrance in the Spirit, what happened to the commitments? What happened to the vows? What happened to the things that the Lord showed me that He wanted me to make a change in my life and I said yes to? Am I still maintaining that this morning? Have I been faithful to my vows? Have I been faithful to the changes that I told the Lord I would make when He passed by my way? Over in the 21st chapter of John, in the first verse. After these things, Jesus died, He rose again. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. And He revealed Himself to Peter and Thomas and to some of the different disciples. And verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, he was in a group of people, disciples, his peers, people that had left their nets. And Peter said, I go fishing. You know, in essence, what he was saying is, I'm going back fishing. Now, this is before Jesus appeared to him in this instance, okay? When it said Jesus appeared to him, he's given us the background before Jesus appeared to them again. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. Or in other words, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back to my old normal. I'm going to go back to where I came from before the Lord gave me that special visitation and I left my nets. I'm going to go back fishing. And I want us to remember this morning, fishing is not wrong unless it interferes with the call of God. I'm going to go fishing, and you know what they said to him? We also go with thee. The decisions that we make in our life have great influence on others around us. I'm going to go back fishing. And there will be others that says, I think we will too. They had dedicated their life for 3.5 years to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus had died and rose again, and they were feeling probably a little bit at loose ends. And so they went back fishing. You know why people go back fishing? There's a lot of reasons. Sometimes you just get tired. And when we get tired, folks, it's easy in the flesh to fall back to how we live before we made a vow to the Lord. And I'm not just talking about Demas went back to the world, yes? He went back having loved this present world. We may not even go back to sin in and of itself, but we might go back to old habits. We might go back to doing the things that one time, in a time of trouble, in a time of grief, in a time of God's glory being revealed, we said yes to the Lord, and camp meeting's over, and the trouble's passed, and I'm just living life. And it's easy, if we're not careful, to go back to the way things were. Let's remember this morning. Remember how God dealt with your heart. And I want to encourage all of us this morning to not let go of the things that we have committed to the Lord. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to my old comfort zone before I made a positive change for the Lord. Sometimes people go back fishing when they get discouraged. Sometimes it's we just get distracted with life. We get busy. And as a snare, it comes on all of us. That's what Jesus said. And because we get busy with just life, we get distracted, we get tired, we get worn out, we get discouraged. They went back fishing. And I'm not saying they sinned here, but I'm saying we need to be careful about going back when the Lord has paid us a visit and we have made a vow, we've made a commitment, we made a consecration. And I know what it is when the devil comes along and begins to minimize the consecrations that we made during times of trouble. That's what the devil does. So do you remember this morning? The Scripture says, be not weary in well-doing. I want to encourage you not to be weary this morning. Did anybody in the last year, and don't raise your hand, I'm just, if you will allow me to personalize it in this way, and all I can do this is for me, but in the last year, have there been any vows, any consecrations, anything the Lord has come on and said, you know what, that's really not good for you spiritually? What have we done with that this last year? 5 years ago, we can go back. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Spirit of the Lord showed that to me. Where am I today? Have I gone back fishing? Still saved? Still love the Lord, but I'm not on the cutting edge. Because I've gone back and I've given up some of the things the Lord showed me. Where is your vows this morning? Where's your consecrations? Do you know that there are times that we can misunderstand the Lord? I'll give you all a very specific example. You may think this was naive, but I was probably 17 years old. And whether or not y'all believe me, I used to wear cowboy boots. I have nothing against cowboy boots. And I still might like a pair. Nothing wrong with them. I didn't grow up on a farm. I was a city boy, and I got myself a pair of cowboy boots. And went to Monarch, and someone got up and preached and was talking about hypocrites. Wearing cowboy boots, and you're not a cowboy. I was like, ugh. And I started thinking, Michael, why are you wearing those cowboy boots? I'm just telling you a specific example, kind of humorous, and understand, nothing wrong with cowboy boots. I know some of y'all wear them. If anybody has a right to, I guess it's some of y'all in this congregation. But here I'm sitting thinking about me, and I was tender before the Lord, and I was like, Lord, I guess I won't wear cowboy boots. I was like, why are you wearing those? I'm not riding a horse. I'm not doing anything that I really need them. But later on, I began to consider and reflect, and I began to understand the Lord and His ways. Thought, you know, there is nothing wrong if I wore cowboy boots. But there was a period of time, and I just bring out that point to say that sometimes maybe in our humanity, without really understanding what God was calling for, we can make a commitment or make a decision that it wasn't really God that was requiring it. And then as the Lord leads us and as we mature in Christ, we can look back and say, I understand that maybe it was my own sensitivities, or it was my own thinking or my own desires for this. And that's just a place of spiritual maturity. And I think I trust all of us can look back in our lives at those times. But what I'm talking about this morning is those times that you know it was the Lord. Those times that the Lord came along and I know that this thing wasn't good for me spiritually. And the Lord said, Michael, this isn't good for you spiritually. And I said, it's not sin. And the Lord said, it's not good for you. I said, Lord, I need you to work in this situation and I'm going to give that to you. And then the Lord works, and a year later, there's a temptation to go back to the way things were. Do you all know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you been there? Do you remember? Scripture says in John 14:26 that the Holy Ghost would bring all things to our remembrance. So as we leave here today, and I'm not quite done, but as we leave today, I would encourage and challenge us to do some remembering. Those times that the Lord met me. Those times that I made a vow. I made a commitment. And the question then is, are we maintaining our commitments? Lord, I'm going to do this from now on. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this change. Are we maintaining those changes this morning? Over in Ecclesiastes, I like to read, in Ecclesiastes, in the 5th chapter, in the 4th verse, he said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Lord, and I don't want you to be afraid this morning of making a commitment to God. Because I'll tell you, there's also a danger. And I've been there. I've been there when the Lord comes along and deals, and you don't quite want to say, I'll never do it again. I'm not talking about sinful things, okay? I'm talking about those areas that the Lord wants to fine-tune us. And you're not quite to the place to say, Lord, I won't do it again. But we think, okay, I'll work on that, and I'll be aware of that, and I'll... You know, the devil works in those kinds of things. He wants us to come to what we heard in Sunday school, that decision point that we know, Lord, I am putting this on the altar. And so, again, I ask, if it's not accusatory to any of us, but it's meant for a challenge, what things have we laid on the altar in the day of God's visitation? What are the things that we know God revealed to me that I shouldn't do that, or something that I needed to change? What things did God talk to us about in our life? And then the question is, what have we done with them? Are we maintaining our vows, our commitments? Is our sacrifice this morning still on the altar? Or have through time and discouragement and hurts and pain and just life, have we kind of taken some of it off and gone back to this year the way it was? I am thankful this morning. Well, the Scripture says, before we go there, the Scripture says to be not entangled again. Talking about the yoke of bondage, talking about the yoke of the law. But in other words, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't get entangled. Let's not take our sacrifice off the altar this morning. Because remember, God has our best interest at heart. And when the Lord comes along and you look around the congregation and 90% are doing it, and the Lord points something out in your life and says, I want you to make this change. The Lord knows what He's about. The Spirit of God wants to perfect us this morning. But we're going to have to keep our commitments. We need to respond to the Spirit. Do you remember what clearing of yourself? We won't take the time to read the Scripture. Remember when you got saved and the Scripture talks about what clearing of yourself and what zeal and indignation against wrong. And do you remember that? Do we still have that today? When we were willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Just give me a job, Lord. Lord, if you tell me to stop doing that, Lord, yes. Because the anointing of the Lord, special meeting, camp meeting sometimes, just those special services, and your heart is melted before God, and you're so tender. I mean, the Lord could come along and say, stand on your head, and we'd all get on our head. Not that He's calling us to do that. But you understand, it's whatever He asked me to do, Lord, I'll do it. What does He ask of us? And what are we doing with it? Are we still clear? Are we still being careful? I read something last week. Some of you may have seen it. It was a little saying, I'm sorry for picking up what I laid at your feet. I'm sorry, Lord, for picking back up what I laid at your feet. I went back fishing, Lord, and I still love you, but I went back fishing. And you know what the Lord does when we go back fishing? I'm going to tell you what the Lord's done for me. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord did for Peter when he went back fishing. Peter and John and Andrew, they were out fishing, and Jesus came walking down the beach. Came walking down, and He said, cast your net on the other side. He was helping them out. They had gone back fishing, and the Lord blessed them to catch fish. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus sat down and He ate their fish with them. He ate with them. He talked with them. And then He looked over at Simon Peter. And He said, Simon, this is over in 21 and 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know what the these are in your life, but I think it goes back to the vows and to the call that God has given us. I think Jesus wanted Peter to remember when he first came walking by and said, Peter, come on, follow me. Peter willingly, with excitement, dropped his nets. But now he went back fishing. The Lord, in His mercy, did not leave him fishing. He came back again. That is God's love and His mercy when we have not been steadfast. When He comes back and He says, do you really love that more than you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus asked him again, lovest thou me more than these? He asked him three times. And then Jesus said in verse 19, it said, when He had spoken this, He said unto him, follow me. The same words that Jesus had called for Peter before when Peter dropped his nets. And now Jesus found Peter back where he was. And so Jesus loved Peter enough to come back again and say, Peter, come and follow me. Do you remember? What's God talked to us about this year? The last 10 years. When you first got saved, what are the things, what are the convictions that God gave you? What are the revelations that God has given? What are the vows and the consecrations we've made? If you haven't been faithful to those, the Lord just passing by our way again, He's saying, do you love me more? Kind of let some things slip. And He's still saying, would you follow me? Folks, let's not go back fishing, but let's be faithful to our Lord.